Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Movie Ratings Post-Re-Argument Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On September 9th, 2009, the Supreme Court heard re-argument in Citizens United v. Federal Election Commission. The case concerns whether federal campaign finance laws apply to a film about then-Senator Hillary Clinton that was intended to be shown on demand to cable subscribers and in theaters. After hearing argument last term, the court ordered a re-argument to focus on the constitutionality of restricting the independent spending of corporations during campaigns for the presidency and Congress. To discuss the case and the re-argument, we have the general counsel of the James Madison Center for Free Speech, Mr. James Bopp, Jr. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Bopp.
The case before the U.S. Supreme Court involves Hillary the movie. This is a 90-minute documentary that was produced by a group called Citizens United that is highly critical of Hillary in terms of her conduct in the White House and as senator, and is critical of her expected performance as president. But everyone agrees it does not expressly advocate the election or defeat of Hillary. In fact, the movie is something not unlike something you might see on a PBS special or on 60 Minutes, Frontline, that sort of thing. Now, the problem that Citizens United faced was that there is a corporate prohibition for anything that might be broadcast, that is, appear on radio or television, the names of candidate within 30 days of a primary or 60 days of a general election. And Citizens United wanted to distribute, advertise on radio and television, and in fact run on television, Hillary the movie, in the year 2008 during the presidential contest when Hillary was a candidate. Therefore, if Citizens United had advertised the movie or had run the movie on television or advertised it on radio or television, they would have committed a federal crime for which there is jail time. In addition, they would have been required to place disclaimers on the ads and on the movie and also file reports of their contributors who had contributed to the movie. And, of course, the contributors are kept highly confidential by private organizations such as advocacy groups because they know that if they disclose their contributors, they will be setting them up for retribution by vengeful politicians. And in our history, there have been plenty of those, so that the disclosure of contributors really discourages people from engaging in that kind of activity. Well, the Citizens United sued because the First Amendment, which is very sweeping in its simplicity, that is, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, was violated by this corporate prohibition, since political speech is at the core of the First Amendment. And when they say Congress shall make no law, it means that you shall not be prohibiting political speech. And, of course, this is a prohibition on political speech by prohibiting running Hillary the movie. However, several years ago, there was a case called Austin versus Michigan Chamber of Commerce that upheld the corporate prohibition, claiming that the participation of corporations and labor unions in our political sphere would distort and corrupt the system by simply their speaking about issues that they are concerned about. And McConnell versus FEC in 2003 upheld on its face this corporate prohibition. However, a recent case in 2007 called Wisconsin Right to Life held that corporate prohibition was unconstitutional as applied to the ads that Wisconsin Right to Life wanted to run. And the Citizens United thought that to advertise Hillary the movie fell under the exception that Wisconsin Right to Life carved out. However, and in fact, the FEC agreed to that so that only the reports and disclaimers would be required on the ads. The Citizens United also argued that the corporate prohibition could not be applied constitutionally to Hillary the movie because there was no appeal to vote in the movie as required by Wisconsin Right to Life. The FEC disagreed with that and thought that it could be banned. In the first re-argument of the case in the U.S. Supreme Court in March, the solicitor made a very truthful and candid but rather startling concession that the FEC believes that they can, if Congress chose to do this, could prohibit nearly every possible communication, would it be signs or even producing a book, if it was funded by corporate money. And, of course, there is one provision of the Federal Election Campaign Act already that prohibits all corporations from expressly advocating the election or defeat of a candidate. And the FEC argued in the first re-argument that this provision could constitutionally be applied to a book. Well, I think that startling admission, though completely truthful, and the long-standing position of the Federal Election Commission, that their authority was so sweeping. But to say it out loud and in public shocked a number of people, even though those of us who practice in this area know full well that that is their position for many decades. I think that triggered the thought on the Supreme Court that if the Federal Election Commission is claiming such sweeping power, then we ought to reconsider what any of the original justifications for conferring that power on them, which flows principally from Austin, which is the corporate and labor union prohibition on political speech. So the U.S. Supreme Court ordered a rehearing on the case to consider whether or not the two precedents that support the law that prohibits Hillary the movie, that is Austin and McConnell, whether or not the Supreme Court should overturn those laws. Well, in another shocking turn, the government and all of the campaign finance reformers seem to have gotten together and have decided that the original Austin justification of the corporations causing distortion in the process really was a fallacious justification, and as a result, they abandoned it and repudiated that justification and came up with two brand new ones that had never been accepted by the court in the past. One is that there are shareholders that may disagree with this spending on this movie, and in order to protect them, we can prohibit the corporation. The response to that, of course, is among the some 6 or 7 million corporations, the vast majority are very closely held or even held by just simply one individual. And in fact, there are few corporations that actually can ever be expected to have any dissonant shareholders. And then the second argument in response is if they don't like it, all they have to do is sell their shares. So you don't have to prohibit the corporation from doing what the majority wants to do. The dissident shareholder, if they don't like it, they can just leave. The second new justification is that corporations will buy access. This is called the corruption justification that the court has recognized in the context of contributions. But in the context of independent speech, and of course Hillary the movie and its advertising is all independent speech, not coordinated with the candidate, the court has routinely rejected that argument as justifying regulation. And of course here you have the government now saying that it is this corruption that the court has consistently rejected over the last several decades as a justification is now the new justification for the corporate ban. So those were the basic arguments that then played out at the Supreme Court today, whether the distortion rationale of Austin, which has been abandoned now by the government, can support regulation, and then whether these new interests of shareholders and claimed quid pro quo corruption can now be used to justify the corporate prohibition. Of course, what is also at stake here is the right of association. That is one of the key rights that individuals have to participate in our democratic system, is the right to associate with others, to pool resources in order to be effective. After all, people of average means must associate in order to pool their resources if they can be expected to participate effectively in our process. And, of course, as a result, they do that. They form advocacy groups that cover the entire spectrum of opinion and issues that our democracy deals with. They join labor unions in order to pool their resources and engage in this advocacy. And, of course, when you're prohibiting groups as they are seeking to do in this case, prohibit Citizens United, because it's a corporation, from running the movie, the result is that this falls most heavily on people of average means, because individuals can certainly pay for a movie if they choose themselves, but people of average means have to associate in order to do that. And the final point is we have experience with this. We have over 200 years of experience in over 20 states that have no corporate bans on expenditures and contributions. And so the corporations and labor unions fully participate in the state elections in over 20 states. And there's absolutely no evidence that their participation in state elections has been untoward or distorting or corrupting of the process. So the bottom line, it seems to me, is that the claimed horrors advocated by the Federal Election Commission and by McCain-Feingold are simply totally fallacious. They're just made up. There's no evidence or reason to think that, based on the experience that we have in the state, corporations should be banned from the political process.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.